you won't ever find a more wretched hive of scum and villainy.
Now tuned into the greatest. Turn the music up in the headphones. Tim, you can go and brush your shoulder off, and I got you. Yeah, if you're feeling like a pimp, then go and brush your shoulders off. Ladies, it's pimp
too. Welcome to the Wicked Chops Poker Podcast. Chops, Colin, we are 50 away from the money.
50 away from the money. We're actually just about 10 feet from the tournament field.
We are at one of the secondary, thirdary featured tables.
Tertiary
tables. That doesn't have anybody at it right now. So we've got a pretty good perspective. It's a little elevated to what's going on. And mostly what's going on are people folding their way into the money.
Exactly. You're starting to see people stand up, look around. Definitely a lot of passive play. Texting home to family.
This is probably the most in-depth poker analysis that we'll ever give right now. But the real pros, the true pros, the like I'm looking at, unfortunately, Humberto Brenes, or the grinder. This is where they really start chipping up, because all the amateurs just want to make the money, so they're folding, and all the pros are raising. So this is where you'll see a lot of the pros really chip up well. And that's about all the really hardcore poker talk that we're going to do. What we are going to do, though, on this podcast is concentrate on, we've got a little less than 800 players, so a little, like we said, a little less than 50 to the money. We're taking a look at who's remaining and starting to identify the good for poker, the bad for poker. Probably don't know enough for math for poker yet, but who's left of the big names that would be reasonably, feasibly good for poker?
And can we just, from the onset, say that only U.S. Americans will be good for poker?
There's hot foreign chick, like Leo Margette last year would have been good.
Yeah.
So only U.S. Americans and
look at
hot
even
foreign
Annette
girls.
Won the...
Hot foreign
girls. Okay, yeah. There you go. U.S. Americans or hot foreign girls.
Yeah.
That's pretty much it. But, like, you know, right now, Theo Jorgensen is chip leader.
He was the guy that boxed Gus Hansen. Is that him, or is that somebody else with a similar name?
I thought Theo Jorgensen. We should know this. I thought he was the...
Which one's he? He won
older,
something, right?
Yeah.
Anyway, he's chip leader right now.
Yeah, he is the one. Yeah.
So, yeah, the one that fought Gus Hansen.
Yeah.
I'm not going to say necessarily bad for programming. The guy did box Gus Hansen.
Yeah, but he's from... I mean, look at Peter Eastgate from Denmark as well.
And Peter Eastgate, God love him, a great poker player, but had the personality of this table that we are sitting at right now. Just didn't exude charisma. But just a few spots down, top 10 maybe, or you know, definitely top 20 or so in chips. Oh, my God. Clay Aiken, Phil Galfond.
Yeah.
Good for poker, bad for poker?
You know, it's hard to say. I mean, what I want to see as far as good for poker, I mean, my gut instinct is that he would be good for poker, but we really need somebody that will be media savvy, that will be comfortable with getting out there.
He's kind of media savvy. You got Poker Static, and he does good analysis.
Yeah, I mean, I think he's well, that's the thing. I think he, from the game perspective and the math perspective and the online poker perspective, he definitely knows how to talk to that audience, but you know, we really need somebody that can, the way
AKA not our audience.
Yeah, not our audience. that can really talk, you know, to the mainstream audience and really sell poker to the mainstream audience, or sell the idea that, you know, this is something you need to be part of. You know, play online, play the World Series. You know, and we haven't had that since really Moneymaker.
Right.
You know, so.
Yeah. Right above him in chips is Adam Ruthless Levy.
Yes.
I don't really know too much about, other than I like his handle. I like Ruthless. That's a great handle.
He's a UB pro.
He's a UB pro.
Yeah. Actually, UB has a few players. They have Eric Baldwin.
Yeah.
He's still in. I think Brandon.
Good for poker. I'd say
I
Eric Baldwin.
So. Yeah.
Good for poker.
I think anybody who's young that seems like they could appeal to that mainstream, you know, ESPN watching 20 to 30 year old male poker player.
Right.
You know, is good for poker.
If you go back up, like to there we go. Yes for Haugar, that's pretty much the exact same thing as Theo Jorgensen. Might as well be the same person.
Yeah.
I know they're both big pros, but whatever. Johnny Chan, who's still doing well. You know, we're kind of hard on Chan. And I got to throw that one in bad for poker. I think probably most people are going to say that's good for poker. It'll be good mainstream attention for the game. Johnny Chan's like one of the three or four people that maybe somebody that doesn't play poker would actually have heard of before.
Yeah.
So from that perspective, maybe good for poker. Within the industry, maybe not so good for poker, but...
Yeah, that's the thing. I think Johnny Chan, you're going to... You know, if he won, you'd have a lot of attention, you know, right away.
Sure.
You know, he'd do the talk show circuit. But then it would pretty much fizzle afterwards. I mean, one thing is he's not selling the dream.
Right.
Like a moneymaker.
Because he's lived the dream.
Yeah, he's lived the dream. I really do think, like, we need somebody, and maybe, you know, OMG Clay could be this guy, but, like, we've talked about, you know, Durer, or any of these guys, online guys, where they, you know, started pretty humbly.
Right.
You know, online, deposited just...
$50, $100,
yeah, and then really built something, because
right.
yeah, that's the dream that you.
That
really
is
want
a dream. So like a Clay Aiken from that,
yeah.
aspect would actually be really good for poker.
Yeah, where Johnny Chan would just be, hey, that's the guy that won back in the '80s twice, almost won three times. He was in the rounders, you know, in a few scenes, but you know that's pretty much it. The interest would die, I would think, after a week.
One of the chip leaders, according to WSOP.com, has one name, just one word name. Bartolome. Don't know who this person is, but if he really only has a one-word name, good for poker. That's fucking
that's
great.
Yeah, because we don't really have that many.
Yeah.
You know, you can't say Phil because there's Phil Hellmuth and Ivy and Locke, and there's really not many one-name poker pros out there.
How about this one?
Actually, I think I know the one you're going to point to, and I'm actually surprised they're American.
Amari Love,
yes.
Okay, so Amari Love made the joke this morning that sounded like a sexy female R&B morning drive time host.
Totally.
I think it's a dude. Pretty sure it's a dude. I did a Amari Love Google search, and there were a couple girls, but there was a guy who was from Chicago that I think's an accountant, and this guy's from Chicago. So, but the one good thing about Amari Love, maybe bring some more African Americans to the game.
Now, are you positive that this person's African-American?
I'm pretty damn sure, according to Google Images.
Okay.
So...
Every Amari out there is African-American?
Amari Love.
Amari Love, okay.
If you're a white boy and your name is Amari Love, you're probably the coolest white guy out there. You're getting laid all the time if you're white. I might legally change my name to Amari Love.
By the way, I see in the top 60, Stephen Burkholder.
Yes.
He's been in this position before, and... Probably most noteworthy because his girlfriend
has been probably featured as a girl on the rail more than almost any other girl.
Yeah. And not much fanfare around her. She just she's like
she's solid.
She's solid. She's
great drunk action college girl.
Yeah, and she has like she wears.
She's
the
drunk
right
action
clothes.
In college that you would brag about to your friends.
Yeah,
not the ones that you try and hide or like my friend Freaky would actually sneak out his window. We were on the bottom floor.
Yeah.
He's done that before. He'd actually sneak a girl out his window so she wouldn't have to walk of shame and he wouldn't have to walk of shame out of our old apartment.
Hassan Habib. Bad for poker.
Bad for poker.
Yeah.
Bad for passenger manifesto. Bad for many, many things. Vanessa Selps. Let's go Vanessa Selps.
Yeah.
She's, I think, the woman with the most chips at least listed right now.
Yeah.
What do you think? I've met Vanessa. I mean, she's a super sharp girl.
Yeah. I think she would be good for poker. I mean, I think, obviously, a woman winning the main event, like, when you look at, like, what's the next... You know, thing that's really going to open the floodgates in poker.
Woman who likes women.
A woman, yeah, who likes women. I think a woman winning would be probably the biggest thing that could happen at the main event. And, you know, I think she would.
What if Amari Love was a woman?
Yeah.
How huge would that be? A black woman.
Yeah, I mean, that would be like Obama and Hillary Clinton, you know, winning the presidential election.
Be huge.
Yeah, together. So, I mean, yeah. David Bach, I haven't seen him out there, but he's...
I haven't seen him out there, but I don't know. I'd say meh. That's actually probably a meh for poker.
Yeah.
The intense stare of Scott Clements.
I think that would be good for poker.
Yeah.
Actually, he's a likable guy.
Yeah. He's had a lot of success, but nobody really knows who he is outside of, you know, the hardcore poker people. That could be a good one. And if there's somebody that has, like, has the results that almost deserves at least a November 9 finish. It's probably as intense there as Scott Clemens.
Now, this is good for poker, and it would be huge for poker. Bruce Buffer
would be enormous.
He's still in. He's the UFC ring announcer, and he's got 315,000 in chips.
Yep.
What do you think? I mean, you know MMA pretty well.
Yeah, and we've met Bruce a lot. We do a lot of stuff with him on RawVegas.tv. I think Bruce would be probably as close to a, at least of who's remaining right now, a dream scenario for the WSOP people. He would definitely do the talk show circuit, and there would be a lot of, I think, just mainstream press attention to it. Because, you know, people know the Buffers, at least. They know it's time or get ready to rumble.
Yeah.
I think that would probably be almost as good as a WSOP could hope for.
Now
somebody like a Bruce Buffer.
I see X22 is still alive.
Yeah.
What would, like, say he makes the final table.
Yeah.
Or say he wins.
Yeah.
Would Poker Stars, would Full Tilt Poker touch him?
That's a great question. What would they do with him? Because, you know, Full Tilt and Stars has had multiple opportunities to touch our penis. No, to touch Robert Bracconi, and they haven't. Johnny Chan today is without patch.
Yeah.
They've definitely had opportunities that we know of to have patched him before, and they don't. So if they haven't patched them, but then again, you know, if you're looking at the final table, you've got, you know, for our listeners that don't know, there's a WSOP rule that prohibits online poker sites to have more than three people patched at a televised final table. So there's actually kind of a premium at, you know, who you want to pick and who you want to patch. So everybody's going to probably get a patch unless you're Darvin Moon and you're a freaking idiot and decide to turn down $250,000 free dollars or even like $1 million free contract. Because you've got that kind of standards. And he turned down a deal this year as well because it wasn't high enough for him. But at least he's trying to get a deal. So anyway, somebody like he'd probably get a deal just because they got to. Jason Mercier.
Yeah.
Looking at, you know, not necessarily a big stack, but I think that would be really good for poker. Seems to be a lot of momentum behind him, or people really within the industry at least wanting him to do well.
And what do you think about Lauren Kling? We just had her on This Week in Poker.
Yeah.
She's getting tons of exposure, you know, poker listening, poker news.
Yep.
We interviewed her. Card Player just did something with her.
Yeah.
She really hasn't, you know, done that much. I mean, she's...
she's interesting because her results are getting better.
Yeah.
And you kind of see a progression of getting better with her.
But there's also that factor of being a relatively attractive girl in poker that it pretty much elevates you.
Guarantees you a deal if you can go deep in something.
Yes. If you're a hot girl and you go deep in a tournament, you're going to get a deal.
Right. I think somebody like Lauren, very photogenic, absolute shoo-in to get a deal. She just needs to open up a little bit more.
Yeah.
Needs to be a little bit more loose. So she's definitely got a personality. We've seen it like a year ago when we first met her. You know, very jokey, loose, carefree. And now I think she's almost overly image conscious. You know, trying to keep as clean of an image as she possibly can. The only problem with that is that then you're limiting yourself by being a little bit boring. And yeah, you might get a deal, but you're never going to expand past anything meaningful. If you get that deal, if you can't exude some personality.
Yeah, you have to be able to leverage, you know, you have to look at yourself as a brand and be able to leverage what, you know, you have that nobody else has.
Right. It's like we always go back to, you got to look at, you know, Negreanu and Helmuth are the two big name guys that get that and understand it, and you might not agree with everything that those guys do. So they definitely are putting themselves out there and doing things that bring them attention.
You know,
that leads to more mainstream dollars because they're the only ones that get it.
Same thing with the Maven. I mean, he's...
Love the
Maven. Yeah, I know. We just had him on This Week in Poker, and you look at the Maven, you know, he won Online Poker Player of the Year in 2008.
Right.
You know, he played, I think, something like 20 or 30,000 tournaments or something like
ridiculous.
That in a year. So
insane.
He basically, you know, had no life for a year.
Right.
But he won, you know, he got that accolade.
Yep.
And then it's all about how do you leverage that.
Yeah.
You know, so he's leveraged that. You know, it's something he can brand. He's got a poker school. He's
doing a lot of business. He's got MavenMedia.com.
$600 every 2 hours.
Yeah.
That's how much you have to pay him for poker lessons.
I didn't say what I get paid $600 for every 2 hours for, but let's just say I ain't giving poker lessons.
But, I mean, it's impressive that he's taking what, you know, he did in 2008.
Yeah.
And has been able to leverage
absolutely,
it.
Absolutely, yeah, absolutely built on it and blew it up. And, you know, a guy that maybe upon first glance might be a kid we would have made fun of in high school a little bit. But now, you know, you look at what he's doing, you can't have anything but a load of respect for what he's doing. He's a great interview, too. Like you said, we went a half hour with him. We could have done the whole show with him even earlier today. Did we talk Jean Robert?
No, we haven't.
Jean Robert Vallande, who, if you follow on Twitter, you know, broke living JRB. He was kind of tweeting, I guess, you know, he's pretty much either living a famous lifestyle but is broke. Or
yeah.
He's been up and down, and obviously a main event score would be good. I think that would actually be great for poker because, one, I think he'd be willing to do a lot of talk show stuff.
Yeah, he lives in, does he live in L.A.?
Yeah.
Still, I mean, lives in L.A. or, he, you know, spends a lot of time in L.A. and
was on Survivor, obviously.
Yeah, so, I mean, I think that would be pretty big for poker. It would be interesting to see how much he would actually walk away with in prize money because
of how much he owes people.
Yeah, how much he owes people.
Yeah. One name that jumped out at me a minute ago, and you don't even know that he's still in, Alan Cunningham. What do you think about Alan Cunningham? I mean, like, 2006, that was huge because, I mean, he's been coming off, you know, he had won bracelets in all those consecutive years. Everybody thinks he's this great player. He hasn't done much of anything of note over the last few years. Maybe he's just fat and happy off the tilt money, or maybe he's, you know, he's running bad for 3 years. I don't know. But what do you think? Alan Cunningham, he makes a deep run.
You know, I mean, we've seen it before, so I don't know how it'd be any different this time.
I think it'd be bad for poker. I think it's definitely meh.
It's more meh.
It's meh for poker.
But isn't meh bad for poker? I mean, what would be...
It's a waste. Men's, like, for somebody like Alan Cunningham, it's an absolute waste. Here's a guy that probably most people would consider one of the 20 best players. He was voted... We're only 20 from the money right now, by the way. Everyone. 20 from the money. Little mini round of applause going on right now. But Alan Cunningham, by the way, this is breaking news right now.
Penthouse.
Wow. Gluten-free Charles, our photographer, just spent the last 20 minutes railing the Nordic chick. That's
Rachel Nordholm or something.
Right,
like that.
Super hot girl on the rail. Almost a lock for Girls on the Rail Hall of Fame. Yeah. Voting next week. And she's next to, is that the hot Russian?
That's Ask Girl 2.
Ask Girl 2?
Yes.
Okay.
And they're talking.
So pretty much, Gluten-Free Charles just came back, and he had a wet spot on his jeans. And we're like, what's that? And he said it was a little pre-cum. But,
wow, we actually have a podcast where the word pre-cum was used.
I know. We've been using it. Unofficially.
Oh, was it?
Yeah, we did say it on this week. Unofficially, pre-cum has kind of been one of our phrases of the 2010 WSOP. We usually get hooked on a couple of words or sentences or phrases or something and beat it into the ground. Now, we haven't gone, you know, pre-cum on the site a lot, but we've been saying it a lot. We have been saying double rainbow a lot.
Which is almost the same as a pre-cum.
It is, actually. It's actually a full cum.
Yeah.
That's an orgasm. Double rainbow is like a ridiculous orgasm. Anyways, Gluten-Free Charles shows up with the hot Nordic chick and Ass Girl 2 in what might be our greatest girl on the rail pick of all time. Maybe they're... Wow, look at all that. We'll get this up on the site. Probably, you'll see these probably before the podcast go up, yeah, as our producer is going to be on a plane. Heading to back to Los Angeles.
The picture is actually the two of them are talking to each other.
Right. And it's really, it's a great photo.
It really is. Yeah.
I'm very happy with
it. Is it in focus?
Yeah. You get gluten free.
Nice. Well, even better, zoom out. We also have Jack Lynx.
We got Jack Lynx there too, yeah.
Yeah.
That's some great, that's really good juicy jerky. Look at that.
There we go. Right there.
That is Fantazzle. It's Fantazzle. There we go.
Wow.
Nice work, Gluten-Free Charles. Like I said, you'll probably see those photos before you get to the podcast. Very dear penthouse. That's solid. So anyway, we were talking about Alan Cunningham. Said it as an Evie Yang. She's chipping up. She was kind of short earlier. She's around 185, 200 right now. If I could say of all the females remaining that I can think of right now that I want to present the last woman standing cup to,
it'd be Evie.
I think Evie would be number one.
She would actually be
choice.
Huge for poker if she won.
Yeah.
I mean, think about, like, she already appeals to the whole gaming crowd.
She totally appeals to the gaming crowd, which is a great draw you know, traditionally for
she's poker. She's a hot Asian.
She's a hot Asian, so she appeals to Barry Greenstein and Daniel Negreanu. And appeals to a lot of just regular male guys.
And she's media savvy.
She's very media savvy. She's great on camera. That would be, maybe she doesn't make the final table or anything, but as far as who's remaining that I think right now I want to present the last woman standing cup to, I'd say Evie Yang. First draft choice.
Yeah. What about Bernie Lee? Bernie Lee is still in. He's got $150,000.
We like Bernie.
He'll need a chip.
Bernie's going to stay, he's going to stay short, and he's going to bleed that short stack until the bitter end. He's not the most aggressive guy.
Yeah.
He's another good media savvy guy. We like Bernie. I don't know if he's necessarily the best of the best for poker, but he's certainly not bad. And he's probably not meh. He's good. One name that we scrolled by that we haven't talked about, Patrick Antonius. Good for poker?
I think it'd be great for poker, but, you know, he's had opportunities to get out in the media more, and he really hasn't. So, I think he definitely would for sure if he won the main event. I think so. And plus, I think just based on looks alone, I think you'd have media interest.
But still, to be good for poker, person's got to be willing to participate. I just don't think he'd be willing to participate at all in the media circus around him. He just doesn't care. All he cares about is making $9 million a year playing online poker and a couple million in the big game. I guess it'd be good for poker maybe with an initial burst because one of the superstars made the final table.
Yeah.
But I don't even see him doing ESPN features like what Ivy did last year. I just don't see it.
Something I always wonder is do you think you'll ever see, you know, like the TMZs or the pop culture blogs or, you know, show an interest in a poker player if they're, you know, like him. I mean, you could say he's a David Beckham-like character.
Right.
He's a good-looking dude.
He lives a pretty humble, married life.
Yeah, that's the problem, though, right? I mean, he's not living in L.A. He's not going to the Ivy.
He's not banging Lindsay Lohan.
Yeah.
We need somebody to bang Lindsay Lohan.
Yeah.
Jeff Mattson probably has, for all of
Seems
like somebody that's kind of in his wheelhouse. But, yeah, I don't know. You want Patrick to be good, but I don't know. I don't see it really moving the needle much. I just don't. Be good for people within the industry, though. People would like it. Because, again, kind of like Ivy last year. Are you going to Dragon Gaelic?
Yeah, I think just name alone.
That'd be huge. Talk about somebody that could bring in the gaming crowd.
Yeah.
Every Dungeons & Dragons dork in the world would be friggin' happier than shit that a guy named Dragon Gaelic made it. I don't know. Anybody else? Sammy Farhad? Bad. Scotty Wynn would be great. People love Scotty.
Mizraki brothers.
Yeah.
I don't know if all four started. All four started today.
Yeah. I would say Grinder probably good, the rest of them.
Yeah.
I don't think anybody cares. Ali Prescott? We like Ali Prescott. That'd be Liv Boree's boyfriend. He's still doing well. He'd be a potentially good for poker guy. Right, anybody else? Anybody else that just screams really good for poker?
What would you think of Eric Morris?
Yeah, you really had to go there.
Eric Morris is the publisher of Bluff Magazine, and you have to think he's still in day four.
What I say about Eric Morris?
He's gotten pretty lucky.
He would absolutely 100% do the media rounds, unlike Jeff Shulman.
Yeah.
I think he'd do every talk show and every opportunity that was presented for him. So that would be good. Maybe pump some more financing in the Bluff.
Yeah.
These are bad things. We like Bluff. We have a column in Bluff. It's the best poker magazine out there. And then Gavin Smith, who's short and is probably clinging on.
He's also short in chips, too.
Yes. Clinging on by a string to get to the money. But if he were able to quintuple up and start being a factor in this, I think that would be a really good thing for poker.
You know, we skipped over Scotty Wynn.
I mentioned Scotty.
Did you really?
Yeah, good for poker.
Early on?
Yeah. No, just like 2 minutes ago.
Okay.
Good for poker. I say good.
Dwight Pilgrim. Did you mention him?
You know, when we're talking about bringing more African Americans into the game, that could be good.
And he's had what? He's like Mr. WSOP circuit.
Yeah, he's a grind, like a tournament grinder,
like
small stakes tournament grinder that you know the Pokerati guys have latched onto and identified like a year ago. you know, kind of like the intense stare. He's kind of like a poor man's the intense stare of Scott Clemens. Yeah. That he's a guy that's grinded and has done really well for himself, but nobody really knows who he is.
Now, this guy may not win, he may not make the final table, but he has the best hair out there. Do you know who I'm talking about? Vince Van Patten.
Oh, Vince Van Patten, yeah.
Is still...
Wow, I can't believe he's still on.
And we're, what, 2 days away from...
The WPT final table.
Yeah.
Which he'd have to break from.
Yeah.
He probably never anticipated a deep run from himself.
No, no.
I think he'd be good for poker. Aside from the fact that he's got the best hair in the world.
Yeah.
Dick Van Patten's what, kid?
Mm-hmm.
Nephew? Cousin?
No, it's his kid.
It's his kid.
Yeah.
So, you know, Hollywood legend's kid who's definitely media savvy, would definitely do the tour, the talk show circuit. I think that would be a good one. Okay, very good for poker on this one. I'm surprising myself with that answer.
Oh, sweet.
That's like for big names. That, you know, that's the funny thing is that I wouldn't say that there's like a ton of superstar, like tier one poker names.
Yeah.
You know, Annie Duke was eliminated. She was definitely before she was eliminated, our choice for Last Woman Standing. That would have been great for Last Woman Standing, and, you know, obviously a lot of attention. As far as, like, superstar names, I guess you could say Patrick Antonius, worldwide level kind of superstar. But
Johnny Chan, who else? No, but I'm saying as far as, like, who of the big names are left, you know,
and
really,
I guess
really big
Grindr
names.
Grindr you could probably put in there, maybe. Maybe not Patrick Antonius level, but but big. And that's probably it. No, with the exception of Dan Harrington, I don't think there's any other main event champ still left, is there?
No.
And I think Eric Buckman's the only November Niner from last year still in. So nobody repeating from the November 9 last year. They all got knocked out early. No Tuan Lam. Where's Tuan Lam?
That's a good thing.
The most anonymous second place finisher in main event history. Yeah.
Seriously, he disappeared, right? After.
Yeah, he must have.
Afterwards.
He probably did what I would have done, and that's two middle fingers in the air.
Yeah.
And fuck you, everybody. I got my however many million, and you'll never see my ass again. That's it. And then, you know what? Last guy, and we'll close with this guy because he's right in front of us at the table. We always refer to Humberto Brenes as insufferably annoying, and he is, the whole Chark thing and all in and all that shit. A little played, a little tired, but damn, he's a good poker player.
Yeah, I feel like, you know, our first World Series was back in 2005.
Yeah.
I feel like every year,
every single fucking year.
Every year at this point when we're getting down to the money, he's in. He seems a little bit more subdued.
He does. He does.
And I don't
he's
know
not screaming. He don't, I'm sure he's got the chart. I don't see the chart. So, yeah. You know what, Humberto? We may hate on you. And it's not like it's not for good reason. But hats off to you, Humberto Brenes, for yet again pulling through and making another deep main event run. It's pretty remarkable. Way to go. And with that, that concludes this episode of the Wicked Chops podcast. Thanks to the Attic, Brian, for producing. Thank you to CC's Pizza, where you can get all you can eat buffet, $3.99. All the pizza you can eat for $3.99. Go all in with CC's Pizza.
We don't have a $5 foot long or a fancy jingle, but at CC's, we have a 24 foot long endless buffet of pure deliciosity. And for 2 weeks, it's only $4.99. That's a $4.99 24 foot long to you, friend.